Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we're going to start reading at verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now I want you to turn over to the book of Jude in the New Testament, the book of Jude. Jude is right before the book of Revelation. And Jude, I want us to look at verse 14. Jude, verse 14. The Bible says, And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now one more place, and then we're going to stop. I think I won't have you turn anymore, but I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As you've probably picked up, I'm going to talk about Enoch today. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 5. Hebrews 11:5 says, By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'd like to preach on the subject this morning, the testimony of Enoch. The testimony of Enoch. So if you would, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day of life. We thank you for the blessings of life. God, we're blessed beyond measure. God, as a people, we're blessed beyond measure as Christians. We're blessed beyond measure as Americans. God, you've been so gracious to us, and I praise your name for your goodness to us. I praise your name most of all for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, I pray today that your word would go forth with power. If, God, there's someone here today that's lost, I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw them and convict them and open their heart. And Lord, I pray as Christians we'd draw closer to you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. Thank you for this church. Thank you for every person that attends here. I pray a special blessing on every one of them. God, I know that you know that I love these folks. I just pray that you'd help them and that we'd grow from your word today and become knit together in love and better Christians for it, in Jesus' name and amen. Enoch is only mentioned in four passages in God's word. He's not mentioned that often, but he's a very important person in the Bible. In Genesis 5, we read that. In Luke chapter 3, it's just a genealogy, his name's mentioned. In Hebrews 11 that we just read, and again in Jude where we turned earlier. But the Bible tells us that God took him. And I looked that word up in the Greek. It has some what I thought was humorous meanings. One of them was, only a West Virginian would probably get this, he was fetched. God fetched him. If you're from around this place, you've probably heard, go fetch your sister, or go fetch your brother, or go fetch your mom. Well, God fetched Enoch, and the Bible tells us that God translated him. God translated him. He moved him from one place to the other. The Bible says that he lived 365 years. That's funny. He lived 364. We have 365 days in a year. He lived 365 years. And he lived in a time, believe it or not, that was a short lifespan. Because Enoch lived in a time when men lived twice that age, at least twice that age. And his father, Enoch's father, lived to be 962 years old. You imagine that? 962 years old. God must have given them good health, because who'd want to live that long in poor health? But they lived a very long time in those days. And then Enoch's son, as you probably well know, was Methuselah. And Methuselah lived to be, he lived to be the oldest of anybody in the Bible. He lived to be 969 years old, almost 1,000 years old. That's amazing. 1,000 years old, 969 years old. But Enoch only lived 365 years old, and the reason was is God fetched him. God took him. He translated him. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Enoch's life. It really doesn't. When we read down through there, he's just given in a list of genealogies, and he's the seventh from Adam, the Bible tells us. We know he was a little bit about him from what the Bible tells us, but what we definitely know about him was good. And what we know about him, we should try to emulate and imitate. The Bible tells us that, again, it doesn't tell us a whole lot, but it does tell us he had a family. He had children. It tells us that he walked with God. It tells us that he had a testimony. And it mentions in the book of Jude that he spoke out against ungodliness in his day. So I guess you might say he was a preacher of righteousness in his day. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. One of the definitions of that word translation was transported. He was transported. And I don't know why, I'm just a child of the 60s and 70s, but I immediately thought of Beam Me Up, Scotty. He was transported. God moved him from one area to the... That was science fiction, mostly fiction. But God really did it. God really moved Enoch from the earth to heaven. So the Bible says that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I just want to remind you this morning, if you're saved, you too have a testimony. You have a testimony. And the way you think and behave in this world is being recorded by God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The Bible tells us that our works are going to be looked at. The way we live is going to be looked at. The way you live is being considered by God. God considered Enoch's life, didn't he? He's considering our life. And those around us are looking. That's probably, it's very important that we try to please the Lord, but also, it's also important that we want others to see Christ in us. Is that not so? We want to live in such a way that people want what we have. People are watching you not to see if you're perfect, not to see if you're sinless. They're watching to see if you're real. Even lost sinners understand that you're not perfect, and they know that you're not sinless, but they would like to see somebody who's genuine and real. And that's what we need to be as Christians. Enoch was he was the real deal, wasn't he? Your family is watching you. In my case, I've got 4 children. I think they watch me. I try to set an example. They could tell you that I don't always live up to what I'm supposed to, but I want to be real. My friends are watching me. The people, my acquaintances and the people that I work with, co-workers watch me. Your co-workers watch you if you have an outside job. They're watching you to see if you're real. You have a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. All God's children have testimony, right? If you're saved, you have a testimony. I hope it's a good one. If it's not, you need to work on that. Now, I used to work with a car salesman. He said, you can change anything in 90 days. You can turn any company around in 90 days. Well, I don't know how long it'd take you to turn your testimony around, but if you need to turn it around, you need to start working on that. You need to turn your testimony around. If it's not right, you need to make it right. You need to, because people are watching you. You are influencing people. People do use you as an example. Unfortunately, they probably shouldn't, but they probably look at you and they either say, boy, if that's a Christian, that's great. That's what I'd like to be. Or they say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, if that's a Christian, I'm gone. Well, if she's gone, I'm gone. You ever heard anybody say stuff like that? Well, I don't want to be like that, do you? I want people to speak. But you know, again, folks, even Christians have bad days. Even Christians have bad moments. Even Christians can show themselves to be weak and fail. But again, sinners are looking for what's real. They're looking for what's real. And if a Christian does have a bad time or a bad day or says something they shouldn't or does something they shouldn't, they ought to be able to look at their lost coworker or lost friend and say, you know, I messed up the other day and I apologize. I acted like that. I shouldn't act like that or whatever. And try to fix it. At least show people you're real. Show people you're real. Enoch had a testimony, and so do you. I've just got a couple points. Number one, Enoch had a remarkable life. Even though the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about it, what it does say is remarkable. It's remarkable. The first thing that gets my attention about Enoch is that the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Now, Enoch's not the only man in the Bible that it says that about, but that's a substantial statement, isn't it? He walked with God. To walk with God means to be devoted to God. How can two walk together except they be agreed, the Bible says? I come home from work at night and I was wore plumb out. And Evelyn said, you want to go for a walk? And I said, sure. That's just what I want to do. After working all day in the heat. I want to go for a walk. Austin's shaking his head. But you know why I went? Because I love her. Now he's really shaking his head. And I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be with her. Well, if Enoch walked with God, it was because he wanted to be with God. Right? He wanted to be with God. To walk with God means to be intimately acquainted with God. That should be our desire, is to be acquainted with God. We want to know God, right? Paul said that I may know him. I want to know God. You can't know someone if you don't spend time with them. You can't know someone unless you walk with them, so to speak. To walk with God means to be in constant fellowship with God. I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to be in constant fellowship with God from the time I get up, from the time I go to bed. I've told that story before about this college professor. They thought, they knew he had a great prayer life, so one of the boys said, I'm going to crawl under his bed tonight and listen to him pray. I bet he prays all night. He was a bachelor man. He said, he stayed there on campus. He said, I'm going to sneak under his bed and just see what his prayer life's really like. And they said that when the old man went to bed, he said, remember, there's a boy sitting under his bed. The old man said, Lord, thanks for a great day. He said, I'll see you in the morning. That was the end of it. So the boy was trapped under the bed there, and that's all he got to hear. Well, you know, if you walk with God all day, you don't have to have some big long prayer at night. You can just say, God, thanks for a great day. I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. To walk with God means to be in constant communion with God, doesn't it? It means to be engaged in active service for God. We've been called to serve, haven't we? Enoch walked with God. To walk with God, the Bible says he pleased God. To walk with God means to please God. Everything we do should have that as our goal. Is this pleasing to God? Is what I'm about to do here, is this going to please God? You know, there's some things that are neutral. You know, what I mean by that is there's some things that neither probably please God or displease God. They're probably just, you know, whatever. They don't really have a moral attribute to them one way or the other. I mean, if I got up here and sang Mama's Little Baby Loves Shortening Bread, that's probably not, I mean, if I sing that song, it's probably not going to help nobody, and it's probably not going to hurt nobody. It's just kind of neutral, you know. But what I'm trying to tell you is, the things in our life that are, we want to please God, don't we? We want to please God. We need to ask ourselves. I've been confronted with a major decision here recently, and I had to make a decision about it. And going to work one morning, I put this preacher in, and he talked about Abraham and Lot. And he talked about how Lot looked at things with his eyes and said, you know, I see these well-watered plains, and I see that, boy, I can make a lot of money here, and this is an opportunity for me. And Lot chose to dwell, he pitched his tent, the Bible says, towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But this preacher went on to say that Abraham was walking by faith, and he was trusting God. And it's like the Holy Spirit, because I'm in the middle of trying to make this decision, it's like the Holy Spirit said, now which one you want to be like? Well, my flesh wants to be like Lot, I'll be honest with you. But I want to be more like Abraham. I want to be more like Abraham. The Bible says Abraham was the what? Friend of God. I believe Enoch was a friend of God, don't you? So to walk with God means to be pleasing to God. It means to be in agreement with God against sin and for righteousness. To please God means oftentimes to displease men, doesn't it? In other words, when we try to please God, it's not always going to sit well with everybody. To please God sometimes doesn't please men. Matter of fact, probably most of the time doesn't please men. Walking by faith is what it means to. You have to walk by faith to please God. You say, why is that, preacher? Well, I read it to you in verse 6. But without faith, it's what? Impossible. So how are we going to please God? Verse 6 says, let me read the whole sentence. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How are we going to please God if we don't walk by faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, it's not faith. Do you follow what I'm saying here? Faith is stepping out into the unknown and trusting the Lord to take care of it. You know, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. In other words, God's going to take care. God's going to settle the score. And when He settles the score, it's settled. So to walk with God means to be pleasing to God. It means to be walking by faith. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing God. Little Emily was up here a little bit ago, and she wanted to get down. One of the boys jumped down. I don't remember which one it was. But one of the boys jumped down, and she wanted to get down. So I said, take my fingers. And I didn't think she'd do it. And I mean, she grabbed my finger and stepped off air like it was 6 inches instead of a foot and a half. And I had to kind of catch her because I didn't think she would jump that fast. Evidently, though, she trusted me. She trusted me. When we, by faith, trust God, we step out into things that sometimes we don't understand what's going to happen. We're just trusting Him. We're just depending on Him. It means relying on God. Enoch walked with God. It pleased God. Enoch had a life of faith. Faith. You know, the Christian, what's the Bible? The just shall live by faith. Why does God always keep putting me in these bad positions, these bad spots? Why does God keep doing this? Why am I going through this? Because God is, He's trying to get you to live a life of faith, I think. If it was easy, you wouldn't need faith. Is that right? I mean, if things were just hunky-dory all the time, you wouldn't need faith. Right? It's when the difficult times comes when you need faith. It's when the heartaches come, you need faith. When the hardships come, you need faith. When you got more bills and you got paycheck, that's when you need faith. When the doctor says bad news, that's when you need faith. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think Enoch diligently sought God because somehow or another he walked with him. I think he sought God, don't you? He sought God. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what Christians need to do, isn't it? We need to search for God with all our heart. We need to find out God. We need to look for God. We need to keep trying to walk with God. Stay close to God. You know? He's the good shepherd, is he not? If the sheep wander off from the fold, they get in trouble, don't they? So when the shepherd, he's always out in front of us. So when the shepherd is leading us, we need to follow him. We need to walk with him. We need to walk with him. So Enoch had a remarkable life. He really did. He walked with God. He walked with God to the point that it was so remarkable that God took him. So the second point I've got, and let me ask you today, are you diligently seeking God in your Christian walk? Are you diligently seeking God? How's your testimony, Christian? Do you have this testimony that Enoch had, that he pleased God? Then secondly, Enoch had a remarkable finish. He had a remarkable life, but he had a remarkable finish. In other words, he didn't go like the rest of us are probably going. He went a different way, didn't it? He had a remarkable ending, but it didn't really end. The Bible says he was translated. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, the Bible says, for God took him. It seems to me that they were just walking along, and God was walking with him, and all of a sudden God said, you're just going to go on home with me now. You're not going back home tonight. Wonder what his family thought of that. They probably thought a wild bear got him or something, drug him off into the woods. But God took him, didn't he? God took him. Think about this. Enoch was spared the pain of death. Death is an enemy, isn't it? Death is an enemy. Nobody looks forward to death in that regard, as far as going through the door of death. Nobody wants to do that. Death is the enemy, and God allowed him not to have to face that enemy. I was telling a fellow the other day, I've made a lot of visits to people that were dying. Some of them lost, some of them saved. Just about every lost person I've went to visit and tried to talk to them about the Lord, you know what they'd say? They said the same thing to me almost every time. Here's what they'd say. I'm all right. I'm all right. They weren't all right. I don't think they were all right. But that's what they said. I'm all right. I'm just trying to tell you, Enoch never had to face the death like that. He never had to go through that doorway. And let me say this. If you're saved by the blood of Christ, you don't have to fear death. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ has the victory over death, doesn't he? He has the victory over death, over hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ does. So Christ has conquered death, and if you're in Christ, death is nothing but a doorway. Now, the problem is the doorway's not always fun to go through. It's not always easy. I've watched saved people suffer with cancer, and it's not a good thing. It's a hard thing. But you know what? They're not suffering now. They've went on. They've moved on. And now everything is joy and bliss. And they wouldn't come back if they could. I'm just trying to tell you, Enoch skipped all that. That's remarkable, isn't it? You know, Enoch was removed from this earth in a unique way. God took him without going through the turnstile of death. Everybody else has to go through it. You know what a turnstile is, right? Everybody else has to go through that turnstile. But Enoch didn't go. There's only one other fellow, from what I can understand in the Bible, that didn't go that way, and that was Elijah. Elijah, he really got carried out. He got picked up in a chariot, didn't he? In a fiery chariot and taken up to heaven that way. I don't know whether Enoch had a chariot or not. He might have had an Uber. I'm just kidding. I don't know how he went. God may have just had him by the hand and just walked right on back up to heaven with him. It don't matter how he went, but God took him. God might have, you know, when my kids was little, I used to put them up on my shoulder or around my, put them up on my neck. God might just threw him up over his neck and gave him a ride up to heaven on his back, piggyback ride, they call it. I don't know how God took him, but God took him, didn't he? He snatched him. He fetched him. He carried him, took him away. I want you to notice a couple things about his removal. It was pleasant. It was pleasant. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. That's pleasant, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's how I'd like to go. I'd just like to go easy. We don't get a choice in that, I'm afraid to tell you. Sometimes God puts his choice saints through difficult deaths. I don't understand that. God has a purpose. God has a reason. Maybe he's dealing with other people here on this earth while he does it. But I'd like to go easy. I'd like to just kind of slip out. Both of my grandpas, they died that way. They died kind of like in their sleep. Well, man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty good to go that way. But we don't have a choice in that. But Enoch, he went easy. He went easy. His removal was pleasant. His removal was mysterious. The Bible doesn't tell us much about it. It just said God took him. The Bible says God translated him. You know, you can't go into heaven. You cannot go into heaven with this mortal body. Did you know that? This mortal body can't go to heaven. It's corrupt. So God, when he translated him, he had to do something to him. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." In other words, if you're alive when the Lord comes back, he's going to change you. We're all going to be changed. Just like Enoch was changed, translated. His removal was mysterious. I don't understand all about that, but I know that the Bible says that mortality cannot enter into heaven. We have to put on immortality. God's going to clothe us with immortality. We're going to have a body like unto the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrected body, his glorious body. We're going to have an eternal body, aren't we? So his removal was mysterious. Also, his removal was final. He didn't come back. He did. And by the way, you don't come back. When you leave here, you don't come back. Have you noticed that? People don't come back. You say, well, on TV they do. Well, TV's fiction. You don't come back. We were out Walton one time, and this girl stood up and started telling me about this ghost she saw on her front porch, and I just rebuked her from the pulpit. I said, ma'am, sit down. That's nonsense. Tell me about some, stand up in church and tell me about some ghost you saw on your front porch, you know. Now, if you know a ghost story, that's fine, but don't share them at church, okay? Wait till we build a campfire and then you can try to scare us with one of them. But Look, you don't come back. You don't come back. One of my favorite movies in the world is The Christmas Story, The Christmas Carol by Dickens, Charles Dickens, where you got these ghosts that come back, but they don't come back. They don't. It's got a good lesson. It's got a good moral to the story, but it's not. That's fiction. Enoch never come back, folks. When you leave here, you don't come back. So his removal was final. His walking into eternity. His walking into eternity suggests a few things, and I'm about done. It suggests, number one, there's an eternal state. In other words, he went to heaven with God. There's an eternal state. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. When you die, you're going somewhere. You're not just buried in the ground. Your soul's going somewhere. It suggests to us that the body and the soul exist hereafter. God's going to give us, not only, the Bible says to be absent. Have you ever heard of soul sleep? Anybody ever heard of that? There's a people around here that believe in soul sleep. I've worked with some of them. Bless their little hearts. They think that after you die, your soul lays down in the ground with your body until the resurrection, and then your body and soul is resurrected. But that the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that, as far as I'm concerned, that answers the soul sleep thing. We are going to get a new body one of these days, but in the meantime, if you die, your soul's going to be with God. Your soul's going to be with God. So you're going somewhere. There is a future state ahead, and God's people, like Enoch, will dwell with God forever. God's people would dwell with God forever. Now, you know, Enoch, he probably, I don't know if I should say this or not, because I'm speculating, but Enoch might have thought, you know, hey, I'm only 365 years old, God. But look, what is 365 years compared to eternity? Right? What is Enoch never lost anything, did it? He never lost anything. Let me ask you this question. With the exception of Andrew, with the exception of Andrew, we're all going to be gone in 100 years. He may be here, he may not. I doubt it, but he may be. Most people don't live to be 100 years old. But the rest of you, I hate to tell you, 100 years from now, you're not going to be here. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Where will you be 100 years from now? Where will you be 100 years from now? That's an important question, isn't it? You say, that's a long time off, preacher. Well, we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? Where will your soul be 100 years from now? One of the old Puritans said this, he changed his place, but not his company. I thought that's pretty good. Enoch changed his place, but not his company. He was no longer on this earth, but he was still with God, wasn't he? He was still with God. Isn't that a precious thing, folks, to know that if you die in the Lord, you'll be with him? I just can't imagine not knowing that. I think it's a wonderful promise to know that. That no matter what happens, if I die, I'll be with him. I'll die. And Evelyn will get a big life insurance settlement and live like a queen the rest of her days. Amen. I tell her all the time, like Jimmy Stewart said in It's a Wonderful Life, I'm worth more dead than I am alive. Nah, I'm just picking on her. But it is a great promise, isn't it? If you're lost today, you don't have that promise. You need to find out about that, don't you? You do. Christian, let me ask you, like Enoch, how's your testimony? We need to keep an eye on that, don't we? It's easy to forget. You know, we got a testimony. People are watching us. Most importantly, God's watching us. God's watching us. People would stay out of a lot of trouble if they just remember that. When a guy slips into some room and looks at pornography on his laptop and thinks nobody's watching, he's forgot something. He's forgot God's watching. Right? God's watching. When a woman slips off and has lunch with a man that's not her husband and they set up a rendezvous somewhere, she's forgot something. She's forgot God's watching. I remember one time, and I'm quitting, I was making a delivery in Ashland, Kentucky. I got out of the car. I hadn't thought about drinking a beer in 20 years. I got out of the car, and I was sitting at this gas station, putting gas in the truck, and it's like a devil, like on the cartoons, it's like he popped up on my shoulder and said, "You could get a quart of beer and nobody'd ever know it." You know, and I sat there and I thought about that. Yeah, it's hot, a quart of beer, yeah. And then it's like the other little said, "God'd know." God's watching, isn't he? He's watching. I know that's a poor analogy, but I'm just trying to tell you, he is watching. Your testimony is important. And then, does your life please God? I want to be pleasing to the one who chose me, the Bible said, to be a soldier. I want to please him. I want to please the Lord. He sought me and bought me, the song says. I want to please him. Do you want to please him? Hey, we've been bought with a price, haven't we? We've been bought with a price. In other words, he owns you. I want to please him. I want to please the one. And listen, when I say he owns you, I don't mean he's a good master. You know, he bought me off of a slave market where I had a bad master. But now I work for a good master. I was working for that. I'm working for a fella now. He's a good master to me so far. I always put that in parentheses. So far, he's been really good to me. And like the other day, he asked me how many hours I had. I told him. He gave me 4 more hours. Well, hey, that's a good master. That's the way God is. God, he gives you exceedingly, abundantly more than you can ask or think. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's a good master, isn't he? I like being his servant. I want to please him. Are you walking with him? That hymn says, "Are you walking daily by the Savior's side?" Are you walking with him? Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch's a good example for us, isn't he? Enoch's a good illustration of how we need to walk with God, I think. I hope this morning that you've somehow, I've said something that maybe make you want to get closer to God, make you want to have a better testimony, help you to be a better Christian. I hope if you're lost today, I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but I hope you leave out of here miserable if you leave out of here lost. I hope God, the Holy Spirit, convicts you and shows you need to be saved. That'd be my prayer. Enoch walked with God. You're going to be somewhere 100 years from now. I hope to see you in heaven. Amen. I want to be with you in heaven. Look at me. Every one of you, look at me. I want to be with you in heaven. I want to be with every one of you in heaven. Amen. Stand with me, please. Dear Lord, thank you for this example. These